Clap your hands to Jesus and magnify the King, as we've already been instructed here this evening. I believe that it's a worthy occupation for us to involve ourselves in, to be able to clap our hands and lift up our voice unto the King, to entreat and entertain the presence of the Lord for a moment, to allow the flow of the Spirit to break down every stronghold in our mind and heart, that we might plug into what the Holy Ghost wants to do in Northern California through the group of people gathered right here in this place, right now. Even now, God has a work that He wants to do. You don't have to wait for another service. You don't have to wait for another opportune time. This is your hour. This is your time. This is your moment of reckoning in the kingdom of God. King David was in the gate at Jerusalem and he was weeping, even though his armies had already defeated Absalom and all of the renegade armies of his son that had deposed him earlier from the throne. He was sitting in the gate and he was weeping. And he would not presumptuously take back the throne. He waited until they escorted him back to the throne. I will not usurp this throne, even though I've won victory. I will await my escort. And I believe that every one of us can recognize that Jesus Christ has already won every victory. He's overcome the enemy. But He will not take the throne of this service or of your life until He's escorted. Judah had to come and escort Him back to the throne. And that, of course, the word Judah means praise ye the Lord. There's no way that God is going to usurp the throne in the house and leadership in this place until somebody makes up in their mind, we're going to escort the King. He has won victory after victory. And by His own arm, He has brought salvation. And by His own zeal, He has brought forth the victory. I shall escort the King to the place of my life where He rules and reigns. I don't know if you can sense it, but this atmosphere is quite charged with the Holy Ghost. I just hope that somehow God will make us aware and we can recognize the anointing on this service. It's not just the anointing to get through the service that's here. It's yoke-breaking anointing. It's stronghold-tearing down anointing. It's time for God to rearrange our perspective and our thinking so that when we return to our local churches, we will be on fire like we've never been before. We will anticipate and expect a greater revival than we have ever hoped for before. If somehow God could get a hold of our thinking and alter it so it would match what He wants to do. Not just what my limited thinking wants to do, but what He wants to do. Thank you, Brother Sullivan. Thank you, Brother Underwood. Thank you, Brother Cisco, for being here, my good friend. Brother Allard, God bless you. Everyone that is here tonight, all of the ministers, Brother Rushing, it's great to see you. God bless all of these wonderful men of God. Appreciate every one of you. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Numbers chapter 13 and verse 27. I would like to read to you from the Word of the Lord, Numbers 13 and 27. And I hope the spirit of Joshua and Caleb will get on you right now. And you will declare along with them, we are well able to take the land. For that is the will of God for you tonight. And I do believe that I have a word from the Lord for you. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight. Now notice very carefully that they said we were in our own sight as grasshoppers and then so were we in their sight. Very important point. I want to minister to you from this text. It is a matter of perspective. It is a matter of perspective. How many of you want God's eye view, God's perspective of what we are able or not able to do? I don't want your perspective because I don't believe that it will adequately declare what God really wants to do until your brain has been baptized in the Word, until your brain has been bathed in heaven. Then I want to hear, we are well able to take the land. I am here to steal somebody's fear. Somebody's received an evil report, and you feel like the situation is hopeless. But I come to declare to you that God is your hope. And it is a matter of perspective. Let's lift our hands and invite God's anointing upon His Word. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. It is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we invite you in this place. We escort you to the throne of this service to minister your grace in this place. So God, we ask in Jesus' name that this will be done and that you would grant our request here tonight, and our prayer would be heard and answered by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that you heareth us, and we thank you for hearing us, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The men who were chosen to spy out the land of Canaan were men of renown. Each of these men were rulers, one from each of the 12 tribes. These were no ordinary men. Each were recognized by his peers as being a leader. It was a great honor to be chosen by Moses to be a part of this powerful group of men who would get their first glimpse of the promised land. These men would see and explore the land and bring back a report to the entire nation. Moses instructed them to see what the land is like and see whether the people are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Do your best to bring back the fruit of the land, because the Bible said it was the season of the first ripe grapes. I want you to know that this area has experienced revival, but it's only the first fruits of what God really wants to give to this area. What the men did not know was that this would be a test more than anything of their perspective of God and His promises, and a test of their outlook on life. Little did they realize that this assignment would be the defining moment of their career. How they perceived and spoke about what they saw while on assignment would determine their destiny. And I've come to tell somebody here tonight that you have come to this place seeking and wanting the will of God. And it's going to determine your destiny, how you view what God shows you in this place. You are at the time of the first ripe grapes. We should not be old in our spirit and decrepit in our attitude and lethargic in our response to God's word of faith. There ought to be something leaping on the inside of us. A radical change ought to take place in our minds. I am not here just to do the same old tired thing, the same old Geritol thing, of trying to get everybody pumped up and worked up. I'm tired of preaching to bored saints. I'm tired of preaching to bored people. I'm tired of preaching to people that just want another routine and just another service. But if somebody's got a new perspective that says, this is our hour, then you can rise to a new level and take it. In Jesus' name. Let me ask you something. What is it that can cause the same trial, the same experience, in the same situation to bring glory to one, brings groaning to another? Fame comes to one, but shame to another. Fulfillment to one, and failure to another. All 12 witnessed the very same events. All 12 spies shared the very same experiences. All 12 hazarded their lives for the cause. But the 10 said, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the 2 said, they are bread for us. The 10 said, the cities are walled and very great. But the 2 said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.
The ten said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. But the two said, we're going anyhow, because God is able to do it for us on our behalf. The two said, their defenses departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear not! I did not come here to entertain you tonight. I am here on assignment by the Holy Ghost.
You don't need to allow the enemy to change your perspective and the way you see yourself. The ten said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. But the two said, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. I submit to you tonight that it is a matter of perspective. My greatest enemy is not the devil. It's not some saint in the church. It's not the preacher down the way. And it's not even the charismatics. It's not any other person. But the person that resides in me and how I see myself. It is the person that gives me the greatest challenge. That's me. I give myself my greatest challenge. It's my perspective that will decide for me whether I will enjoy revival or not enjoy revival. Of whether I'll get something out of this service or not get something out of this service. Because two can be in the field, but one's taken and the other left. Because one had the right perspective and the other didn't know what they had. But I found out I've got something in Jesus. In this apostolic Acts 2:38. Message. Woo, hallelujah. It's still a life-changing message. It's still a stronghold tearing down message. It can change your perspective.
It is your perspective that will make the difference of whether or not you have an apostolic move of God or whether there is no move of God. God will not decide that for you. Because He's already won the victory and He's already made the decision. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there will I be in the midst of them. What is He saying? Where two share the same perspective, I will bring to pass. Where two touch any one thing agreeing, I will do it. It's a matter of shared perspective. Does anybody share my perspective? The Lord's in this house. Does anybody share my perspective that revival's about to break out on your left hand and on your right hand? I've come to propose to you tonight, there is no devil, there is no Judas, there is no spirit of evil, there is no power of darkness who can resist the power of the church. For Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
I didn't know what the gates of hell were referring to in the book of Matthew until I went to the Holy Land and I saw there in the tribe of Dan, there was a cave, a little place where they said that was the gates of hell because marauders and thieves would hang out there. And of course, what scared everybody is not really what they came out to do, but what was hidden in the cave. And so that's what I'm here to discover, because that's really where the stronghold is. It's what's hidden in that cave brain of yours. That comes leaping out in some dark trial that says God's not bigger than your problem. That's what we've got to overthrow. If you want to tear down the gates of hell and storm the gates of hell, why don't we start by what's hidden in the cave? The people of that day called that cave the gates of hell because that's where the marauders, they hang out. That's where they take all of the good. But you see, if a stronger man will come and spoil the house, and bind the strong man, then you can take away all his goods. I just want to challenge somebody in this house to get a new perspective and to recognize the power that God has placed in you through the name of Jesus. Are you baptized in Jesus' name? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Speaking with other tongues? Do you believe that there is only one God and His name is Jesus? Then there is no devil in hell that can resist you. There is no stronghold that can come against you. There is nothing that can stop revival. It cannot stop it in Yuba City. It cannot stop it in Maryville. It cannot stop it in Paradise. Oakland must come down. There must be revival in Oakland. There must be revival in San Francisco. If somebody can perceive God's ability.
I Our problem is us. Our problem is our perspective. Our problem is how we view life. It's our worldview. How you view yourself and how you view God. It is the view of our true selves, and its roots are inward, but its fruits are outward. It is our best friend or our worst enemy. It is our outward look. It is the thing that draws people to us or repels them from us. It is never content until it is expressed. Your perspective will be known either in body language or attitude or that look on your face that says, I don't know if I want to be here and hear this. I just don't know whether or not I just can't give up my attitude. Some of you got an attitude, but I'm the attitude adjuster for this evening. I'm going to work on your attitude a little bit. 40 days of viewing the abundance of a land that flowed of milk and honey passed by. 40 days of marveling at the richness of the soil, the purity of the water, the abundance of the crops. 40 days of measuring the strength of the cities and the villages of the enemy. Now the time has come for them to give their perspective of the whole thing to the ears of those who wait with great anticipation for their return. And they told him and said, we came to the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in this land, and the cities are walled and very great, and we saw the children of the Anak there. Notice their perspective. Notice how they magnified the negative and how they said the land eats up the inhabitants and all the people are men of great stature. It seems like it's human nature to allow the negative to rule, to allow the bad news to almost consume us and to enlarge so much that it takes over our spirit. It seems like we can have a great Sunday night service and the power and the blessings of God flow, but let one family be disgruntled, let one person have a problem, and it seems like the natural tendency is for everyone to reflect on the negative. I am tired of looking at ourselves as grasshoppers. I can't change the fact that there are giants out there in that world, but they can't change the fact that we are the people of the King. If you see yourself defeated, then you're defeated. If your perspective has told you we don't have a chance, then we don't have a chance. But if somehow I can alter the way you look at it, all of a sudden, in one moment's time, you're going to find out that God is still able. He's still bigger than any problem. He's still greater than any circumstance. If you will allow Him to alter your perspective. People can sit in a service like this. Two can walk out. One said, wasn't that a great service? And the other said, well, I guess it just wasn't there tonight. I want to do exactly what Joshua the son of Nun did. They tore their clothes. I just want to rip my coat off. Just rip it to shreds. Oh, it's the Lord in this place. I said, it's the Lord on the throne of your heart. Then what's stopping you? We are well able. Well, I just can't get a breakthrough. From this point on, your destiny can be decided. From this moment forward, your destiny can be decided by the right perspective. It's a defining moment for somebody here tonight. Don't let your lethargy pass up the time and the moment, because this moment is now, and you need to understand. There is nothing in the biblical record to suggest that Joshua and Caleb were any greater than the other 10 rulers of the tribes of Israel prior to this story. But the same experience that would catapult Joshua and Caleb into God's hall of fame and cause them to be remembered with respect and honor throughout the ages would drop kick the other 10 into God's nameless hall of shame. Is there anyone here who could stand and recite the names of the 10 spies who accompanied Joshua and Caleb without looking at your Bible? But how many of you know who Joshua and Caleb is? Give me this mountain. Your perspective is the librarian of your past and the speaker of your present. It is the prophet of your future. What is it? It is your perspective. The only thing that can hinder revival coming to me is my outlook on life and my perspective. Perspective is your mental view. It's your outlook, your attitude towards life. The things you choose to see and the things you choose not to see. Some of you won't take a good look at yourself because you're afraid of what you're going to see in the mirror. I want you to know that your perspective can be built upon faith or fear, belief or unbelief, trust or distrust, respect or disrespect, honor or dishonor, positive or negative, smart or smart aleck. Your perspective is the filter through which you look at life. Someone has said you don't see things as they are. You see things as you are. It might hurt just a little bit, but are you all ready for me to adjust the attitude in the house? Everything you look at, you're looking at it through the lens of your perspective. You're looking at it through your filter, which chooses what you see and what you do not see. But what I want you to see right now is that God is ruling in this place. God's still in control. Even when you're hurting on the inside and you're tore up from the inside out, it seems like you can't get any peace and you don't know which way to go. And it seems like darkness prevails on every side. I've got a light that's about to shine into your darkness and let you know that God is still sovereign and He's still in control. Let me give you an understanding. An English professor told his class, he said, I want you to take a sheet of paper and I want you to write a sentence down. Woman without her man is nothing. Because they wrote the words, woman without her man is nothing. And then he said, I want you to punctuate it. And I want you to put the commas, exclamation points, periods, wherever you want to. Well, the men had their own perspective and the ladies had another. The men wrote it like this. Woman without her man is nothing. But the women wrote, woman without her man is nothing. That's perspective. Looking at something and seeing completely two different things. You know what I want you to start doing? Start speaking faith. Get every word of unbelief and every word of doubt and every word of fear out of your vocabulary. If you want to see the promised land as a place of sure defeat and torturous death, then you can prophesy your own future into existence and enjoy yourself if you so please. And they can grind you into powder. But as for me and my house, we will choose to serve the Lord. And I predict that there's revival for Northern California. Some of you feel like your well is dried up and your anointing is gone, but I come to tell you that's a lie belched out of hell. You are a mighty man of God. You are mighty people of valor. You are chosen of the King to alter the destiny. It's a matter of perspective. I want you to see it as God's gift to you. Every trial that you go through, every adversity, every giant that you face in life is just another opportunity for God to open the door for a new victory, for Him to show His glory. But you have got to understand that it's time for you to meet with God at that place, that sanctuary that's nothing but badger skins. It's nothing but just simply poles and badger skins and a few things put together. But it's a meeting place where the Almighty God and the Shekinah glory of God will meet with you. I don't know what your building might look like. It might be all dilapidated. It might be just a small building somewhere in the corner. Or it might be a storefront. But it does not make any difference if two or three are gathered together in His name. It is a meeting place for the Shekinah glory. I'm talking about alcoholics can walk in off the street and find deliverance. Drug addicts can walk in and find the power of God. People that are about to get a divorce can find out that there is rehabilitation and restoration for their marriage and their life and their relationships. It's all a matter of perspective. Either Moses was a dictator or he was a mighty man of God. What is your perspective? Either you're in the church and this is bondage or your holiness is beautiful. What is your perspective? Either this message is the greatest thing or it's the biggest hoax. But what is your perspective? I think it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to man. Salvation. Jesus' name. Holiness. Some saw giants and some saw greats. Some looked through the eyes of fear and distrust while others looked through the eyes of faith and trust. Some died in the wilderness and others lived to be a part of the promised land. What made the difference? Perspective. How they saw it. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Therefore, there has to come a time when you place some emphasis on the Word of God. Jehoshaphat decided that because of the prophecy that went forth from the mouth of one of the men that stood up there and gave the prophecy, "We're going to send forth the singers first and they're going to praise our way to victory, even though the enemy is superior and the force is greater than our armies are, because we're just a little bit dilapidated and it just seems like we're just a little bit out of date and they've got all the best and the finest of everything. But we're going to send the singers out first and the praisers are going to go forth and do one thing, and that is glorify and magnify the name of the Lord." Say, "Well, how do I get my perspective changed?" Well, first of all, you got to hear the preacher. You got to receive the Word of God. You got to allow it to tweak your attitude. And some of you don't look like you enjoy getting tweaked too much. But I can understand that what you need to do is you need to send your praise first. Before you get your logical mind engaged, before you try to analyze and figure out just how you're going to do this, you just need to get out front and start praising God with all your might. Praise Him. Can I just tell it like it is? It's not a time to be sour. It's not a time to be a sourpuss in church. It's a time for us to take of the grapes and taste of the sweetness and determine and find out the glory of the Lord. It's just a matter of perspective. That's the hardest thing in the world for me to do, is to be able to send my praise out when my perspective is messed up. Because I see myself wrong. And when you don't view yourself correctly, then no one else will view you correctly. Because how you view yourself is how others will view you. And if you see yourself as dilapidated and saying, "Well, I can't do this, and God can't use me to bring about the victory." I'm going to tell you, one person started the great revival in the nation of Colombia. One person started that revival. They won one little girl and they sent her back to the tribal lands in the mountains. And by her witness, hundreds and thousands were converted to Jesus Christ and were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost by one little girl's witness. I tell you right now that it's just a matter of perspective. If you have been bought with a price and you've been washed in the blood and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's time for you to recognize what you've got and what you are, because you are not somebody that can be disposed or defeated by the enemy, because my Jesus is going to fight on your behalf. And if you will send forth your singers and your praise first. Say, "Well, I've just got to wait to see whether God shows up at this service before I decide to worship." No, why don't you worship first and then decide whether or not God's here? We've got the order all wrong. In the Hebrew, the Bible says that David danced before the Lord. Now, we think of it in the medieval terms because of our Western culture has been so saturated with that kind of understanding that we think of a court jester coming in before the king and performing for him to entertain him. And then the king holds out his scepter and says, "Well, wasn't that a sweet performance?" Or, "Off with his head. I didn't like it." Just depending on what mood he was in. And that's what we think of, that God will either accept us or reject us according to what mood he's in. But in the Hebrew, it doesn't have all that junk attached to it like we've got in our Western cultural thinking. So we need to change all that up. In the Hebrew, before the Lord means you go first, David, then I'll step in and start dancing. Now that changes everything now. You dance first, then get out the way and let God do it. God's not grading you. He just must be escorted. But once he's escorted into the place, you just let him take the throne and he'll do the rest. He'll change lives. He'll break the chains of darkness. He'll liberate people by the power of his Spirit. You better live by faith or you're going to die by doubt.
I haven't come this far to be a wilderness dweller. I want to be a promised land taker. I haven't come this far just to gaze over into the promised land of revival and lay down and die because the way got a little tough. I believe, I choose to believe God. Faith is the substance of what life is all about. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the key. God's trying to make us look through the eyes of faith. That's how the elders obtained a good report. That's how those heroes of faith survived. And not only survived, they thrived. The devil is viciously attacking the faith of the saints of God. Today, we need to make a choice all over again to believe and to be established in faith. The little shepherd boy, armed only with a sling, but he knew how to trust the Lord and how to shout and sing. He did not fear that giant who looked so big and stout. He learned to live by faith. He didn't die by doubt. Outlook does determine outcome. Because the Word of God says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your outlook is important. Neighbors of Noah looked on that ark as a disgusting eyesore in their neighborhood. The ark probably stank like some mammoth outhouse, but I'd rather be in the stink than the storm any day. It's just all a matter of perspective. If you can just look at it and understand that you can either buy into the negative or you can buy into the truth. You can buy into the evil report that's coming from the world, or you can buy into the good report that revival's still in the house. Did you hear those young people worship God? Do you see these godly, holiness-looking young people that are facing this world with a right spirit and a right attitude? When they were asked to worship God, that ought to be enough, elders, for you to shout for the day you die. I just want you to know you're a lot tougher than you think you are. You don't need to sit around whining and groaning about how bad things are. You don't need to whet the appetite of the devil. You need to rise up with praise. And you need to feast on the grapes that can be found in the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. I feel something in the house. Doubt sees the obstacles, but faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, but faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believes. Faith answers I. An alphabet I found that I'd like to share with you tonight very quickly. A, avoid negative sources, people, places, things, and habits. B, believe in God and yourself. A happy little boy went out in the field and he was wearing a baseball cap and he had his bat and he had his ball. And of course he threw that ball up and he was going to hit it because he was the greatest batter and the greatest hitter in the world. And he swung and he missed. Strike one. I'm the greatest batter in the world. And he declared it out loud, threw it up again, said, I'm the greatest batter in the world. Swung again. Strike two. Then he threw it up again, said, I'm the greatest batter in the world. Swung again and missed it. Strike three. And then he said, my, I'm a great pitcher. I just want you to know, you might as well go ahead and believe in God and in yourself. We're not just some Pentecostals. We are Pentecostals. Don't give me none of this penny stuff. We are Pentecostals. That's 50. That's not a single. That's 50. I'm telling you, God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. C, consider things from every angle. D, don't give up and don't give in. Come on, somebody's about to give up. Somebody's about to throw in the towel tonight. But I'm here to give you a perspective that will determine and define your destiny if you will receive it from the Word of God, if you'll believe His prophets. E, enjoy life today. Get that look off your face like you've lost your last friend. Get that look off your face. Oh, I wish I could wear a mirror on my chest just so you could see yourself while I'm preaching. It's a horrible sight sometimes. No wonder God told Jeremiah, do not fear their faces. Looking at some of you, it's like looking at a horror deal. Oh, I wish you could just see yourself. My God, you need to change your countenance in the presence of the King and enjoy life today.
Well, I don't have anything to worship God about. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the only thing you need. If your name is written, then you got something to shout about. If you're saved, you got something to shout about. You may not be casting out devils right now. You may not be opening up blinded eyes. But if you're going to shout on streets of gold, that's something worth getting excited about. If you're going to walk through gates of peril, woo, hallelujah.
F, family and friends are hidden treasures. Love people and use things. Don't use people and love things.
G, give more than you plan. The happiest people are the givenest and busiest people. God doesn't love a giver. He loves a cheerful giver. And that word cheerful doesn't mean to sit there and smile because it hurts. It means hilarious. I mean, you've got to get the give and the offering tonight. You're not hilarious enough in your praise. When you praise, you ought to be hilarious. The Lord's so wonderful. Woo! How many of you are glad you're in the house of the Lord? I was glad when they said unto me. I said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Woo! Somebody needs to get hilarious. We need some radical change. We need some radical mind change. We need a radical faith that says, I'm going to believe God with everything in my spirit. I'm going to believe in this holiness standard. I'm going to tell you right now, our holiness standard is not stopping revival. Our perspective is. Our outlook is. It's not our holiness. That's not our problem. It's not our apostolic Jesus name message. That's not stopping revival. I'll tell you what's stopping revival. Our perspective. You need some hilarity in your worship. H, hang on to your dreams. I, ignore discouragers. You got to turn your holy ignorer on. Some of you got radar on your fingertips. You pick up everything everybody thinks, feels, or says about you. Huh? Oh, but I just want you to understand that you've got to learn to ignore some things. Turn on your holy ignore. Just ignore some junk. Well, so what if they don't like you? Shout anyhow. They probably don't even like their own mama. Hallelujah. Man, people don't like their own mama. That you can't help them. Why worry about it? They don't even like mama. Oh, but I like my mama and I like you. So why don't you just come on and ignore it? So-and-so said such and such. Can you praise the Lord? You can praise your way through all that junk. And get over that hurdle. And say, I'm ready for Holy Ghost revival. I like it. Jay, just do it. Oh, well, I just don't know. Just do it. Well, I don't know if I can teach you Bible study. Just do it. Well, I don't know if I can really feel the presence of the Lord. Just do it. When the man of God says, worship the Lord, don't just look out there and just figure out whether you're supposed to or not. Just do it. If he says, clap your hands, do it with hilarity. Smile at me. Look at me like you've got some joy in your life. Like you've got some power in your life. K, keep trying no matter how hard it seems. It will get better. The valley seems endless, but it's not. I've just come to tell you it's going to get better. You jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire. I'm speaking to somebody in this service. You jumped out of the frying pan and you're in the fire right now. And it burns. And you're hurting. And you don't understand why. But I'm saying keep trying no matter how hard it seems. It's going to get better. God is going to give you a breakthrough like you've never had before. You are one step away from the greatest miracle of your ministry and your life. If you'll just hang in there. I said, hang on. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Ignore the discouragers. Keep doing what you know is right to do. See, I've learned this. Hurting people hurt people.
And so when you understand that, it can change your perspective.
L, love God first and most and like yourself.
Very good.
M, make it happen. That means don't just sit around and wait for somebody else to run the aisles. You do it. N, never lie, never cheat, never steal. O, open your eyes and see things as they really are. P, practice makes perfect. Boy, I like that. Now, you see, we don't practice the presence like we should. In other words, we are famous Pentecostals for trying it one time, and if it don't work, quit. When I clapped my hands once in the service and I didn't feel nothing. Well, you got to keep doing it till you do feel something. That's what I like about Brother Underwood. Every time I see him in church, he's always standing up. Woo! How can you be in church that long, being a preacher that long, and still be that excited about Jesus? There's only one way, perspective. God's not better to him than he is to anybody else. God don't love him any more than he loves anybody else. Perspective. Perspective. Woo, hallelujah. It's a matter of perspective. It's time for somebody to love God. It's time for somebody to say, I'm coming out of myself. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to praise till it happens. Praise. Perfect praise. Makes perfect. And so I'm going to change that alphabet up a little bit. I was at a doctor's office where I found that. But you see, you got to understand that praise makes perfect. And whenever praise makes perfect, that's when you understand that your life cannot be altered until you get into a spirit of joy and gladness. And if you want revival, then you got to praise Him until God changes you. Not till He changes the atmosphere, but till He changes the atmosphere of your mind. The spirit of your mind needs to be renewed so that you can get a new perspective of things and find out that God don't have to change the circumstance. He don't even have to calm the storm to get you out of the boat and get you to walk on it. Man, the first thing I'd ask Jesus to do is get out of the boat, so could you calm this thing down just a little bit? I mean, at least if I think I can swim. But in the storm, you're not even going to make it to the shore if you swim. But Jesus didn't calm it down until He got him out of the boat. You don't have to have a calm sea to produce the right response. You can still have a storm and respond right. And if you'll respond right to the storm, you'll get out of your boat and walk. Some of you got some storms raging right now, but you're not responding right. Your perspective's messed up. I understand that. I do that too. I got to have my attitude worked over every once in a while, so don't feel bad. But you need to come out of that pew praising. You need to come out of praising till God makes you perfect. Praise Him till God changes your perspective. Praise Him until He changes your attitude. Praise Him until He makes you something better. Now, I'm not talking about positive mental attitude, so you have to understand there's a big difference between the two. Positive mental attitude says there are no giants there. That's just your imagination. It is not your imagination. There are giants. And they're mean. And they will eat your lunch if you don't get the right perspective. Well, what's the difference between positive mental attitude and faith? Well, positive mental attitude says there's no giants. Faith says there's giants,
but we whoop them anyway.
You just want to know the difference? That's the difference. God's got to put some backbone in our spirit to where we can overcome. Q, quitters never win and winners never quit. R, read, study, learn about everything important in your life. S, stop procrastinating. T, take control of your own perspective. U, understand yourself in order to understand others. V, visualize your dreams. W, want it more than anything. X, accelerate your effort. Y, you are unique. Z, now watch it. Zero in and go for it. Do you want the greatest revival North California has ever experienced? Young people, do you want to turn your communities and your local schools upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ?
You don't have to change your holiness. You just let your light shine and you stand on the principles taught by the pulpit. Don't let anything change you. Because we're not trying to be like the world. We want the world to become like us. And friend, I don't believe the world's going to rub off on our young people. I believe our young people are going to rub off on the world. Get them nasty dudes baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost talking with other tongues. And their life will be turned around. Now, this is what I want to do. I want you to stand to your feet. I want the musicians to come quickly. We got to zero in on this. And we got to go for it. You got to make your mark and say, I'm going for it. It's the time of the first ripe grapes. It is time for you to seize the moment and let your perspective be altered by the presence of the King. You got to soak in His presence for a while. Your faith attitude can alter your perspective of things. Where you look from the right lens and see the world as God wants you to see it. See the storm as God wants you to see it. See the problem as God wants you to see it. Because I can't change the fact that there are going to be storms in life, and I don't care how spiritual you get, exempt from storms. You never qualify. When you get out of one storm, if you win and pass the test, all you qualify is a bigger test. All you qualify for, got another test coming. God will give you a little season of reprieve, but I mean, He never leaves me alone for very long, and I'm right back into another bigger one. And then I've cycled through where I had to go through the same storm about two or three times because I was too hard-headed and wouldn't learn the lesson. How many of y'all ever done that? I mean, about three of you? Boy, I'm telling you, I need to move to North California to learn how to be. I just don't know if you got the right perspective on that, the rest of you. Because I've cycled through those storms where I had to go back over and over and over until I finally learned my lesson. Then I just qualify for a bigger test, bigger storm. But you see, God never leaves you. He just shows His glory in every storm, greater and more sufficient than He's ever been in my life. And He's able to overcome anything that you're walking through right now in order to get your miracle and receive your revival that God's wanting you to have. Do you claim it now? Will you zero in on it and go for it? If you zero in and you go for it and you desire God to do it, if this word is spoken to your heart, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If this message has spoken to your heart, I want you to lift your hand right now. It's zeroed in on your perspective. Okay, you can put your hands down now. This is what I'm going to do. Now, I want you to join with about three or four people around you, and we're going to pray together right now because it was at least 60, maybe 70% of this audience that lifted their hand. And this is just the facts of living for God, of what you have to go through to get your promise. Because even when you cross Jordan and the river opens up, you still have Jerichos and Ais and Hittites and Jebusites and all kinds of ites that you have to deal with. Just devilitis. They're always there to resist you. But once you recognize your power, your victory in Jesus, and understand what you've got through Him, you can go through that storm right now. And I want you to join, okay? Get about three, four people around you. Just turn to them and face one another. Now, before you get to praying, I want you to ask everyone in your group, do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues? You need a renewing? You need the Holy Ghost? Now, what we're going to do, we're going to pray first, but then you're going to bring that person to the front. If they don't have the Holy Ghost, they say, no, I don't have it.
and you bring that individual with you to the front, and y'all come together so that they won't have to walk up here by themselves. And we're not trying to be discourteous to you or force you to do anything you don't want to do. We just simply want you to know we welcome you to this altar and to this church. Bring that individual to the front, because I believe that God can fill them with the Holy Ghost tonight in this service before they walk out of here. The Holy Ghost is here. God is ready to do the work. It is a matter of perspective.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
It is more a matter of your perspective than it is the power and the glory of God. Because the power and the glory of God are consistent. It's our emotions that are up and down and constantly inconsistent. Now I want you to lay hands on one another and pray the prayer of repentance. Repent of your wrong view. Repent of your wrong response to the storm. Come humble before the Lord and say, God, I didn't respond right. Hallelujah. I invite your presence into this place to do the work that has been preached here tonight.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. And His royal blood now flows through my veins. And
pray for them. Their perspective. Their
faith. I now can see. Praise God. Praise God. I'm a child of the King.